Today's episode is on the decision-making progress and why it seems that we never come to a common decision. It seems ridiculous. It seems that we are never coming to a common decision. I see people struggling with the decision-making itself because they are using a lot of excuses, something not to do. And why is that? Well, if you think about an interdepartmental decision-making process, then each of the departments might have a different opinion about how to execute and how to come to a solution. So whenever there is a decision to make, most people hide behind stories and things like, I don't have the resource, I only can make it within a project, I will get no funding for it, we are already overloaded with the daily tasks, and we have to deliver on so and so forth. And this might be true, and this for sure can be. But if you think this through and follow the path of thinking to the end, you will come to no more decisions. And that means that you will never change a thing. And if you are not capable of changing things anymore, that means at the end, you will not be able to improve yourself, your department, your company, your team, the things that you are working on, or anything else. It will be stagnation. And stagnation is fail to deliver. And this then will end up in a situation where your company will lose market reputation. Your company will lose customers. Your company will lose market shares. At the end, you will lose people, your talents, the most important thing in your business, and at the end, you will lose your business itself. And this all because you are not able to deliver on the decision-making process. Last week, I had the chance to perform an audit within a medical device manufacturer, and I was reviewing the decision-making process to come to whether we need to do a deep dive root cause investigation or not. And there is a very effective method to avoid this decision-making loop. And this decision-making process would be done on common agreed values. So you would describe the values that are of most importance for that area. And then you will run through this process whenever there is a decision to make, and you will be guided. And you come to this one point where the decision needs to be taken. And in medtech, this is often the case when you need to do a full root cause investigation and then a corrective action plan to tackle the root cause once and forever. Then a good argumentation is always around the risk to the patient or to the user and the probability that the same failure will happen again. This is a very simple matrix where you put the severity on one axis of the matrix and the probability of occurrence on the other one. Then you draw colors inside it and say, when the severity is high, so the impact to the customer is high, or the impact to the patient is high, and the probability that this will reoccur is also very high, then there's nothing else to do a deep dive root cause investigation, come up with a corrective action plan, implement those corrective actions once and forever, and then stop the bleeding. If you have considered what are your probabilities, what are the calculated probabilities of those events before the decision-making process, and you write it down in a nice procedure, and you draft it this way, that there is no more emotions necessary. And that is a problem. That is the real challenge. try to discuss without emotions. When the event occurs, I see people again and again discussing around the same things that I already mentioned. I don't have the resource. I don't believe this is a problem. Why is that a problem? I think that the customer did it wrong. I don't want to change it. And then the whole discussion starts again. And this is common practice, what I have seen in many companies. And those bad argumentations oftentimes comes from the R&D department. And this is clear, because they are proud of what they have delivered. They are proud of what they have designed. They are proud that the development process is over. They have touched most probably the last gate, and they are handed it over already to production. And so they think, this is no longer my responsibility, because I have new tasks to do. I have new designs in front of me. I have new things to do. And those new things are often pretty much of importance, because the business itself, the shareholders, the CEO, they all have interests that the new development of products will be done in the appropriate time, fast to market. And this is the reason why they don't want to take care about old issues. And that is one of the major challenges in problem solving. Problem solving seems always to look into the past and not into the future. And I don't want to care about past made decisions that might have been wrong. And I don't want to be remembered that I have taken those decisions. And I don't want to be remembered that this might have been my failure. But if you are not able to stand up for your own responsibility, also for the failures that you have produced, and maybe at that time it was the right decision because you didn't know it better, then there's always the chance to improve. There's always a chance to learn from it, to learn for yourself, to learn for others, to learn for the department, to learn for the business. And this is the key thing in it, learning. Learning by overcoming failures. So the obstacle we shall see as a gift, because with this gift, we are getting something. We are getting the chance to improve ourselves. We are getting the chance to become better. So in case that you have defined your decision-making metrics, and imagine that you are also using the probability of occurrence of a event or a failure to reoccur, and that you have also based it on the severity of harm that it might influence the patient or the user, then there is no discussion about the decision itself, and you can take the decision up into your own department, discuss with your manager, with the boss, what is now of highest importance. Shall we fix this old thing here? Or shall we go on with a new design? And this is, in common practice, kind of a repetitive thing that people tend to only concentrate on the new development because it seems to be very, very important for everybody. And the project manager who runs now the problem-solving process itself, they often lack to discuss the resource impact that this would need. And if there is no dedicated project manager for the decision-making process in this area, it's clear what will happen. The same thing, no improvement. So you need a dedicated project manager within the decision-making process, and this project manager needs to get the responsibility to discuss with the departmental leaders and request for the resource need. This way, you can overcome this obstacle, overcome discussions, overcome also the emotions that the decision-making process always brings with itself. Back to my audit that I was able to perform, this customer basically had a decision-making process in place, but it was not working, obviously, because there was so much documentation around excuses, why something couldn't be done in an appropriate time, and so many excuses about why we shall not change anything because this seems not to be a problem. And this I also see again and again, a discussion around why it is not a problem. But obviously, in my case, customer complaints are behind it. So there are customers in the field who are complaining about the product that my customer delivers to their customers. So this is reality. It is a problem by itself because you might lose this customer. I have not seen this working in real life, unfortunately, a couple of times, especially when it comes to quality, and this is basically a quality process here. Everybody agrees today that quality is the key to high-priced products. Imagine you're buying a nice and neat car. The car that you would choose for needs highest quality. Also in your private life, most probably, if you are interested in high quality, then you know that high quality comes most of the time with a higher price. But unfortunately, when it comes to the cost consideration, all of a sudden, all set decisions and all promises seems not to be relevant anymore. So imagine that you want to sell a high-priced product, and that's most probably that everybody wants. Selling a high-priced product, having a nice benefit, having a nice return on invest, making money. That's basically the idea behind it. So your promise to your customer is you get a high-priced product, but you also get a very high quality, a very neat product. Now imagine in this decision-making process, you are deviating from the highest quality standards. All of a sudden, all set decisions and all promises seems not to be relevant anymore. This will lead to stress in your organization, and this will make people leave the company at the end because they most probably came to the company because they have had the same idea. It's very nice to work on a product which is high quality and which provides and promises a high price. Just imagine that would have joined the company for the reason of quality. What would they believe if quality is all of a sudden no longer the number one priority anymore? Exactly, they get distracted. They start looking around for other options and they start mourning. The message is clear. Take care to follow the set values, also in times when it is hurting, when it costs money, when it costs stress and extra effort. Everybody will feel better about it because they will be proud of the results. Is this not worth more on a long run than follow an immediate instinct to save money? Is it not worth to think about it because you promised your customer that you want to deliver always on a very high quality standard. The tip of the week. This has to do with daily tasks and how these daily tasks glue to your strategy, to your common set tactics. I'm having great goals, and I guess you have the same. Imagine you have a team. You might have targets for your team. You might have goals that everybody shall achieve in a set time frame. You have your reviews of those again and again. But in a daily routine, you don't think about them. That is happening to me again and again. And I was asking myself, how could I overcome it? Because there are so many daily tasks to do in my routine, so many nitty-gritty details to take care about, that I have two options. One is do micromanagement and jump from one square to the other, trying to do everything at the same time. But I'm not a multitasking person, and I guess that most of the people aren't, because our capacity of our brain only can do one thing at one time. So this leads to immediate stress, to a very high stress level at the end, because you need to decide what to do each and every day. And this is the same for me. And I have been so often at this point where I didn't know what to do next. And then I drew myself a nice little matrix, 3x3 squares. And on one axis I put impact, and on the other one I put probability of success. And now I'm trying to look at my tasks all from the result that my task might have. So when I'm performing a task, what is the output of that task, and what that output could do to my customers, whether this is my team, whether this is one teammate, whether this is my boss, or whether this is my real customer, or whether this is my strategy, or whether this is what we want to achieve in development, or whether this is anything else. And behind this matrix is basically the value that it stands for. So if one of the values that is important in your team or in your area is quality, then you might discuss the one task that you are standing before and discuss with yourself if this task has an impact on quality. And if it has one, then rank it as medium or high in your set metrics. And then ask yourself, if I'm doing this task and the output is 100%, so I have a really nice output from this task, would then the probability of success be high or low? And then rank it on the other axis, low or high. This way, it was very helpful for me to get through my daily tasks, because I put in only tasks that are really of relevance for the value I want to achieve. Another example. I'm about to develop a online learning program because I want to obviously expand my business and I want to get new customers in and I want to attract the market. So my value behind this metrics, in my case, would be development to a customer need. And again, when I'm looking at the tasks that I have set, I'm asking myself, what is the impact that I might do with this single task to my customer? And what is the probability of success that I would get when I'm performing this task? Or what is the probability of success that my customer might have if I am performing that task? This way, it's very easy now for me to start my day, or whenever I have a break, think about something else, and I'm going now back to work. I'm choosing the next one from that matrix. And I'm doing that every day, basically, in the morning. Now, we haven't discussed about the timely impact yet, because I think that it is also necessary to take care about what is, from a result, relevant today to be performed, because the impact of it will be today, tomorrow, or the day after. Or we might have immediate time impacts that only show up next week, in 2 weeks, and maybe a month. The success, the probability of success. And then you would have those who are of no further interest. So my metrics now, my 3x3 case metrics, looks a way that I have on a high impact and on a high probability of success, green fields, and those are immediate to-dos for me. Those are the to-dos that I need to perform today. And there are others, the medium time can-dos, which I mark yellow in my metrics, and they might have been a very high impact, but the probability of success might not be very high. Or the impact is not so high, so medium high, and the probability of success is also medium. I mark those yellow. But I know that I need to take care about those, because they might also bring a very nice success, but not today, tomorrow, and maybe not in 1 week, but maybe next month. And then I have those who have not a high impact and which have not a high probability of success. And those I mark red, and those are to be delegated to somebody else, or you just don't do them. Throw them away, scrap them. You don't need them, because from a result, the output of those might have a very low probability of success, and the impact, therefore, also is very low. This way, it's very easy to come to your next target, to your next task to perform. And basically, the values behind it, or the goals behind this matrix, you can exchange. But the way is always the same. Look from it, from the possible result you might produce. And this is not put on the output of your task, but this is more on the result of the task. So what would this task, if it is completed to 100%, have an impact of the success?